balance of this year, the fact that there are a certain number of senators and there are a certain number of bullhubs up for election, and they are scared to death.
That's right.
That's understandable.
But wouldn't they be more scared if they had a $20 billion deficit and you had a request like that? Now, you see, Don, the problem is, if you have to ask for that amount of supplemental for the military, say $15 billion, you've got the hearings in four committees, Foreign and Armed Services and Appropriations, really three in the House, three in the Senate, total of six committees, testimony for 2 months. And you're pointing out there that the budget is going to be out of balance by $20 billion, the highest we've ever had, and that, well, that's, I think, would almost dictate you had to have a tax increase.
Well, Mr. President, included in the figures was the assumption that there was going to be some $5 billion, as I followed them, some $5 billion or so resulting from additional appropriations for non-military purposes. Now, I can understand why...
Well, not non-military. For instance, the pay raise for the military is one of them, and they've got $1 billion involved in pay raises this year. The GI Bill is another one. That's already passed. That's $2 billion total cost, and 300 or 400 of it got to be funded this year. That's the GI. So they are military and non-military.
Well, it may well be that some of these appropriations would just have to be vetoed.
Well, yes, that's right. You can, but if they pass 349-1, you don't stop them. And I've been vetoing them all. In my own mind, in my arguments, and my pleas to the Congress. But on the GI Bill, I vetoed it, but it got to me 387-0. And the veto was set aside. So you're going to, if they do that, if Dirksen doesn't get back and if his hip's out and he doesn't make a big fight, my judgment is that your deficit right off the bat will be $5 billion there over the Congress. Then, if we could hold it, and that's what I hope to do, and that's what I've been doing. But if it gets out of line, that could be it. Then my own deficit. See, I predicted roughly a $2 billion deficit. And I may miss it two or three because I'm planning on selling securities. That's not going very good. So mine may be 4 or 5. The Congress's may be 4 or 5. And the military's may be 10 to 15. If that happens, I think you can pretty positively say our judgment is we ought to have a tax increase, whether we get one or not.
Well, Mr. President, if the war gets in a situation where another $10-15 billion is needed there, then if you don't have the power to allocate, and I just wouldn't assume that the power doesn't now exist. But if you don't have it, it seems to me that that's the place you're going to have to ask for it. Because to throw this on top of everything else would just be an impossible burden. And I had assumed in my own thinking that these kinds of additions in the military field would not be a requirement. I would have to say in candor and frankness that I hope it wouldn't come about, but if it did, then there would be no alternative to do quite a few things.
Yeah, I think that's... Wait just a second, we'll go to another one. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think that's where we're all going to come out. And most of our real decision, and there'll be plenty of decisiveness once we can look at what we're going to request. And McNamara said to me last night, I could get crowded a little more and might come up a few days, but I really need another month. And I don't think he can be within $15 billion of it unless he has another month. And he's bringing men in as quick as he can. He's sending them out as fast as he can. He's dropping all the bombs that he can to try to stop their great offensive. They want to move their people in for the monsoon when our planes can't fly, because our great protection has been our air. And they have gone from 4,000 trucks coming down there to about 10,000. And we've knocked out 3,000, and they're still up to 10,000. This morning he can say, well, yesterday we flew 300 sorties, but maybe 3 days from now we will not fly any. And that depends on God Almighty's weather and nothing else. But if he flies 300 and he loses 10, he loses many millions of dollars in bombs and planes, as well as lives, about 100 a week, that he won't lose in bombs and planes if the weather's bad. So he's just trying the best he can to see how many gets there, what they do there, and what the expectancy is. He has bet that he could get this thing over with. But nobody really knows, and it's kind of like Washington Circle that you've traveled in a long time. You get going good, and then you hit a circle. You get going pretty good, and you're just eating them up. 50,000 of them been knocked out, either killed or wounded, where they can't fight. And then, my God, the Buddhists come in and upset the government, and you stop everything for a month. You get back on the trail, and then somebody else comes in. And so, but here is here's what our people are saying. The investment plans for the large farmers for the year 66 didn't change a bit from February to May. They're right on schedule. Of the 100 largest investors, we look at their reports, and the investment plans for 66 now totally identical figure that they did in February. Now, the same story applies to approximately 900 large companies, which had already reported, and their plans were going to add about $30 billion. And that's about what they said in February. Now, the overall result of no change is the net effect of many individual pluses and minuses. There are 432 firms that are raising their plans since February. There were 401 that cut them back, and the 65 had no change. Those that upped them reflected that they had increased profits, that they needed additional capacity, and that they could get higher prices, and so forth. The cutbacks resulted from tight money. Some of them said they couldn't, had a little more difficulty with it, interest rates. My appeal to forego the desirable, the luxury, although proceed with the necessary. And the third reason they gave, they said following my restraint, the third reason was they had some delays in labor, construction materials, lumbers, copper, so forth, and equipment deliveries. So they were the reasons why they cut back. So as I say, the 432 added, 401 cut back. They offset one another. The reasons they added were profits, need of additional capacity, higher prices, which add to the dollar cost. That caused it to prices to go up, and that meant the cost went up, and that's why the increase. The cutbacks came from tight money, my appeal for restraint, and delays in construction equipment.
Yeah.
Now, the tabulation covers over 75%. Of those that were in a full survey in February. They say it cannot be regarded as conclusive and as a definite reading because small firms are not included in tabulation. They could show a different pattern. And the large firms that are slower to report may have acted a little bit differently. But if the full results repeat what we believe will, the 16% increase of the February survey, it would break a string of 9 consecutive quarters in which investment plans have been revised upward. The verdict would be there's no slowdown in investment, though. Now, we're going to get another figure next week, but I think that's about what you anticipated.
Well, that's not only what I would expect, Mr. President, but I think it's highly desirable. I think it's a mistake to hold back on building productive capacity.
Well, that's right, but I don't believe much of that's been done. I think what they're holding back on is areas where you've got carpenters that you can't get at all, that you're adding on your extra room, or where you're going to put in another overpass or add to something here, like your Weber's in New Jersey. Now, what we've done by the restraints is we have temporarily, I don't know that we can do it very long, but we at least temporarily kept these wage things from going out of the ceiling because they haven't had many contracts to renegotiate. And Weber had one already in the construction that every man in America was looking at, is a 23% increase. And we just held back and raised hell with enough of them and said, construction, please hold back all that's not essential or not necessary. Just cut off your playroom if you can, because lumber and copper and everything have given us trouble. And the effect that had in some of these respects, at least psychologically, with AT&T 200 million, and General Motors 100 million, and things of that kind, the highways several hundred million, 400 million, the turnpike up there that they're going to add to. Those things, I think, kept that from going into effect, and it's being arbitrated, compulsory arbitration now, and it's given us a little bit of relief there.
Well, the money cost is the major cost needed. From one point of view, is the entire cost of public improvement. So that it isn't at all surprising that roads and hospitals and schools and so on would bear the brunt of this. But of course, these are the very things that shouldn't be bearing the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the iniquitous aspects, I think, of this HEDAC approach that they've had over at the Fed, on just putting these rates up to what I think is an unconscionable point. But that's another question.
What do you think we're going to do to save these savings and loans with all the banks, big cities paying 5.5%? They're taking all the money away from the savings and loans. What are we going to do?
President, I think that they could have anticipated this.
I know it, but what can I do now? What can I do?
Well, I think that they ought to cut back on the rate of interest that can be paid by the banks, the commercial banks, on their deposits, particularly on these small denomination CDs. Now, I think that that Patman is wrong in his idea of trying to, if that's what he really intends, to outlaw all CDs, but I think he's just as right as he can be on the question of these small ones and the rates that are being...
What can I do? What can I do as without legislation?
Well, it depends upon what control you have of the Federal Reserve Board.
I don't have any. As you well know.
Well,
Martin has control.
And that last appointment.
Martin has control, and, well, no, we don't even have the other appointments on this. Most of them think you ought to have a big tax increase, even my liberals in this stage. There's not an economist in this town doesn't think you ought to have a tax increase. When you ask them how they'd get it, they haven't thought that far. But the people over there that even vote with us think you ought to have a tax increase and they think you ought to have a money increase.
Well, I've seen their statements, and I think that I...